Welcome to the show. Welcome to Come to Your Senses. Wow, that is crazy. Wow, we started with Someone Wants to See Jiggly. Or is it Jiggly? How do you even pronounce it?
I like to say Jiggly.
Jiggly. I think it's Jiggly. That's the Ben Affleck.
Jiggly.
Yeah. I don't even know what
that I don't know.
I don't know.
I just remember a long time ago seeing it on Blockbuster and just.
Wow, that's a that is a long time. Well, welcome to Come to Your Senses. Oh, man, it is still hot, man. It's a
steam room.
Yeah, it's a steam room. It's crazy.
It's a Korean spa up in here.
Yeah, not a German spa or a Swedish. No, it's a Korean. They're really
real
hot.
Steamy.
Very stuffy, very spicy, I guess, too. It could be very spicy as well, right there.
Yeah.
But let me introduce my guest. She's been here before. This is her second time. And she's got a new TV, I guess. It's called Slap TV.
I like to call it comedy episode presentations pre-TV series.
Wow, that's a lot of we may have to come up with the acronym.
I'm working on it. Right. It's a web series on Slap TV.
On Slap TV, ladies like us, Miss Christina Cohen Cruz.
Hello. America
or the world. It could be
to the American Republic.
Wow. Wow, you're really like a beauty pageant winner or something like that. Hello. You could be I can see you playing a queen. I can see it there.
Really?
Yeah. I can see it.
Right on. That's awesome.
Though. You know, it's funny because the web series or the comedy TV pre-presentation.
Let's call it a TV show.
The TV show. I'm going to call it
an internet TV show.
Yeah, it's on TV. I'm watching it. You can watch it on TV, technically. It's called Ladies Like Us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because it's about you and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you're taking care of the neighborhood. Cleaning it up.
This is a new series that we're doing. It's Ladies Like Us, The Rise of Neighborhood Watch.
Right. And there's a lot. You know, is the Neighborhood Watch, looking up information about the Neighborhood Watch? Is there still a Neighborhood Watch? Because I used to see signs as a kid saying a Neighborhood Watch, but I'm like, but I don't know who the Neighborhood Watch is. It's not me. It's not my parents.
Right. It's like these phantom people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did not do any research about Neighborhood Watch.
Right.
I think that it was my character Hayden's way of trying to do something to change the world and starting from ground zero.
Okay.
And she doesn't want to get a real job.
That's of course. That's
right.
And it could be anybody really in that case. But Neighborhood Watch is I could think that's a fun job if you take it seriously. I mean, you know, it depends on the neighborhood, you know, if it's a people parallel, maybe parallel parking in a bad way or double parking, or there's some people like maybe graffiti, you're kind of going like, okay, what's going on here? You know, you could kind of, but when it's like a street gang or drug dealing, you're like, okay, I don't know about this. Right. You know?
Right. You know, I think you're pitching a lot of good ideas for future episodes.
Oh, okay,
I think
perfect.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm glad. I'm liking what you're doing here.
You know, I was like saying because I saw one. Because you could do a street gang. That'd be great if you did a street gang where like kind of like the Jets and the Sharks, you know, from the West Side.
What we're trying to do is like make us the street gang. You know, it's like we're playing, like we're kind of on the fence. It's like you don't know. It's like we have good intentions, but it definitely, you know, we're trying, or at least my character is just she's a fop. She means really well, but the execution of her good intentions just turns out to be awkward it doesn't work out. And
is that true to you in some ways?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's like me, but then like pumping it up.
You're not in real life. You don't pump it, but in the character, you're just.
Yeah, I mean it.
Oh my gosh, you okay? Are you crying right now? Oh my gosh,
thank you.
Is it the Korean weather, the Korean hot spa weather that we're having?
Yeah, it's just sweat.
Okay, no, that's good. Same here.
Good.
Wow, but it's a fun because and you created this whole thing, right?
Yes.
And you had backing because it looks pretty good. Like it looks fairly well done and everything.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Looking, I'm like, wow, that's a it's like whole. You know, when I'm looking at it, and I had another guest I had on that. She filmed a short film, but like through her iPhone or something. And
really?
I've been hearing
about that.
And it's amazing how certain like setup, like that you could do, like, you know, mostly like back, you know, when someone's like saying, hey, I have to do a film, like you literally had to go to film school. You had to do all these type of things. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I think people could just buy like the camera and just kind of do their own like almost independent filmmaking.
Sure. I mean,
you could do both. I mean, people do mostly. It's easier to do the...
In this case, you know, I would love to be like, oh, thank you. You know, I actually was the DP as well. But right. No, I had a really great team that knew what they're doing. And what I really love about this project is that, I mean, we started on a DSLR and... Every time I'll show it to some filmmaker friends and they'll be like, yeah, I'll mess with this. Okay. Cool. Right. Let's take it up to another level, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're developing out loud.
Right.
So every episode it's getting better. And I mean, it's the team, it's the crew.
Right.
I come in, you know, with an idea, I'll throw it out there. Then maybe they have a better idea and then they take it up another notch. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, that worked. Okay, cool. Let's go. You know?
There we go. Yeah.
So I mean, I just am really grateful for the favors and
calling all favors.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's true. It's all crew and a good.
That's cool.
A good team.
Yeah, that's cool. At least you know, because yeah, it's. I was listening to something or watching it. You know, sometimes every now and then, like in film or movies, I mean, like when they do the filming, when they show like cuts or something, usually they'll play the bloopers and everything. But every now and then they will play like a tirade or something between maybe an actor and versus somebody in the crew. You know, like when Christian Bale had his tirade like in Terminator movie.
Right,
like,
I love that. And he screamed at the guy.
Yeah. And then there was like, they had Lily Tomlin. I don't know if you know who she is.
She was an I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, and they had the
and
thing.
And that whole freak out with the director. Yeah.
Like, and she's just, and it's so funny because I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't know if that, is that common? Because I wonder if that does happen a lot in those movies because sometimes and they just don't put it out but for some reason those two put out I don't know what happened like
right.
I don't know who somebody just said like was recording it and said like oh we're gonna put this on you know on the internet or TMZ or something like that and but then there's some where I'm like I'm pretty sure like some people
yeah.
who've had issues and you're like but maybe it's not as blown out
well but. I think you know I think what's refreshing about seeing videos like that is that you realize you know you get when you rent a movie and you watch it you have this nice little package
right
and you feel like this is this idealistic world of like
right.
movie utopia
right
and then when you see something like that you're like oh my god these people are human beings
right
and so. This was a very stressful day you
yeah,
know and you're
so.
Like you know cool
right.
like I'm so happy to have this piece of information
yeah.
and I think when you're working everyone is answering to somebody
right.
and you have you know it's a budget problem or a time crunch or
right.
someone falls through on that day there's
right.
all these variables that's happening atomically
right.
so then everything has to come together. Like
right.
everyone has to work in harmony to have a peaceful shoot.
Right.
But you can never expect a shoot day to go all according as planned.
Right.
It's always like the grace of the gods, grace of God,
or
what, you know, God's versus God, whatever. that everyone is very synergetic with each other. Mm-hmm. And so the past couple episodes has been very synergetic, which has been awesome. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it could be a nice little cop drop-by situation of, you know, making sure we, you know, we have our permits right. and things like that.
Did you have your permits?
No.
Oh, okay.
We had to move our location and we ended up figuring it out. But that's what's kind of cool too, yeah. which is like fun, is troubleshooting problems.
Right.
And I think when you start out, yeah. it's fun with the mentality of like, we're getting this ball rolling yeah. and we're going to see what we can get away with, right. you know, until enough people want to mess with us and like yeah. play with us and work with us yeah. that all of a sudden we can't afford to not afford the permits
right,
or
right.
whatever. So I'm excited about it snowballing mm-hmm. and getting a, you know, a bigger budget behind it and, you know, and getting some, you know, permits and yeah. you know, and making it, you know, bigger.
Have you, no, it's okay. It's definitely, when it comes, when you said you had an issue, like, did a cop, like, disrupt, like, I'm going to say disrupt, but did it say, like, okay, where's your permits, and you didn't have them, and you're like, okay, you can't.
Well, okay, so.
How's that work?
Apparently, yeah. we had permission on, at the location that we're shooting, so we were fine with, right. we're in the clear mm-hmm. with that. We just stepped out onto, like, the corner, and then that's where it's like, well, it was like a technical thing, and it right. was like, you actually are good if you're on the property,
right.
and so as long as, you know, you have permission, then it's fine.
Right.
So that's all it was, yeah. and then we just had to reshoot our little scene, but, you know, that's, I think it's just a good learning situation, and I hope not saying that. It doesn't, it's not like a technical foul now.
Right. Or no, it happens.
Just keeping it real, filmmaker talk, in a way with stuff. So.
No, it reminded me when you did it, because like, have you ever seen the movie Ed Wood?
Oh my gosh. Was that with
Johnny Depp?
Was it not? When no.
Tim Burton directed it. It uh-huh. was like black and white.
Basically. Who was the girl in it?
Well, there's a couple girls, but Sarah Jessica Parker was the first girl in it, and then later on it turned into a different girl. Or so I can't remember.
I want to see this.
Yeah, it was a great movie. I don't know if you know who Ed Wood is, but he was voted the worst director of all time. Because he did these movies that were just like insane and not well done.
Really?
And he had like a crazy imagination. He was like, he did these movies like back in the 50s, and they were like really not good quality and everything, because he would go out filming out in LA, and he had the cameras, and he would like steal the cameras, I think, or steal, you know, because he would work like sometimes in the studios, but like for certain like art departments or something like that. And he would go out into the streets and like would film. And if he saw the cop, he'd be like, oh, shit, we got to go. You know, because that's what they had in the movie, because they would have in a trunk, they would have the film and the car. And, you know, like, he would all that stuff. He would guerrilla shoot it. But the problem was that when you saw the end product, it didn't make sense, because sometimes when you would edit or you would see, like, the thing, like, one scene could be very dark, and you had the next scene, like, literally, it's like a bright, shiny one. And but the thing is, I think the people who saw the movies learn to say, okay, they're horrible, but they learn to love that horrible, because at least he put his heart and his effort
yeah.
to the movie, and
that almost became his artistic niche.
And that was the thing, and he became cool. in a way later on, like a lot of people who would say, you know, like I think one of the movies was called, I think it was voted like the worst movie of all time, called Plan 9 from Outer Space. That was like, I think, the name of the movie. And then the other one was called Glenn or Glenda, which Ed Wood, because Ed Wood technically was a cross-dresser or transvestite. Like, he would wear women's clothing, like he would wear a wig and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a movie about that kind of situation in the 50s. So it was like a very, like, he was way, like, way out there. To the point where, like, I think a lot of filmmakers later on, like Tim Burton, I think maybe even Quentin Tarantino, I think they they saw his way of his imagination and how far, even though he never was backed up by a studio or never begged that, like,
interesting.
I think the way, because he had such a
artistic vision,
right, that I think, unfortunately, I didn't really parlay it, but because when you look at it, you'll be like, I think if he had the thing where someone helped him with the budget, helped him with this thing, you know, I think he could definitely make a good movie. But because he was like, "Fuck it, we'll, you know, we can't do this. We have less time. We'll, you know what I mean?" Like he kind of like took every shortcut he could, and unfortunately, and you could definitely see it. Like there's a lot of the movies, like even the stories don't really make sense because. It's like a mixture of like three movies, you know what I mean? Like of three stories. And for him, and that's why when you were saying about the stuff, I mean, it's that guy where, I think there's a lot of people in that Ed Wood mentality sometimes where, you know, you kind of have an idea, but you kind of have to, you know, do it. Guerrilla, right. That filmmaker. And but the thing is but after a while, I think you then go, you know what?
Yeah.
I want to learn the basics. I want to learn to do it the right way.
Totally.
And
it's first this thing of experimenting.
Right.
And it's totally been experimental comedy.
Right.
And seeing what works, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. I learned something every time we do an episode.
Right.
And what we should do.
Right.
What we should definitely do.
Right.
Better every time. And what do I want to improve?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, as we keep going, it's definitely going to be more structured every time. Of course, the free artist in me is like, but, you know, I did the intro an extra 20 seconds long because this is what I'm saying about society.
Right.
You know, or like, some kind of message. But that also structure.
Yeah.
You have structure, you know, the rules, and then you see where you can kind of break them.
I think it's good because I think it's definitely in the long run, it's going to help you with more stuff because, you know, as we see TV, I mean, of course, they're TV, it's just like movies just have directors and they have the same, you know, way of like creating. I think TV right now is king compared to movies because I think when you see HBO, AMC, I think they're giving a lot more power to the writer and the people of
the creator
than the actual producers. Because I think, you know, because sometimes when you, like if I was a TV executive and I'm like looking at my fall preview thing and I'm like, or all the pilots, I mean, I'm pretty sure to them it is like closing my eyes and, you know, throwing a dart and saying, okay, what's going to work? Because they don't know technically what will work. Like for me, like if I saw American Idol, like before American Idol, like if I saw it, I'm like, why would I want to see a show that's basically a karaoke show or something or whatever, but it came out and it just like became a monster. You know what I mean? Like,
don't know how big things are going to be.
And the thing is like TV shows like Seinfeld and Cheers, though that might be, you know, way, those are like kind of like shows you might see every now and then. I don't know if you're familiar with Cheers or,
of course,
but the thing is these shows, if they would have came into now, they would have been cut, like their free season or whatever. But because back then, I think some executives took say, you know what? I do like the show. There's something about it. Let's keep the show on. The first season didn't work. Let's try out the second season and see if that worked. And then eventually you'll see the show easily progress. Because sometimes when you see old shows, and especially like on the reruns, you'll see your first seasons or the, you know, second season, you'll see start developing their peak.
Is what you're saying, you know, now it's much nicer maybe for TV development people to maybe see something that's being developed already. Cause I feel like then they can see potential on something.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, I mean, I'm saying this maybe in a biased way because I'm developing something that I'm going to reach out and say, hey, let's make this something.
Right.
Let's really, you know, make this the real deal thing, you know? And I want to make it as much of like a real TV show as possible until we can make it a full half hour. But I think developing something and saying, hey, this is what we got. We got these ingredients. We can, you know, make something. But We can make something really in the now. We can really say something really powerful, but in a really fun, comedic way where it's not threatening.
Right. No, that's so good. That's good. That's what you got to do. Well said.
Thank you.
Right there. I could talk, we could talk forever.
Oh, yeah. I'm passionate about this. So, you say about it, let's call them right now.
But right now, I saw this. There's an article. I'm gonna go to a segment called News of the World.
News of the World.
So I don't know if you're right here, but I think this should be a TV show or a movie or something. But I'm going to give you the heading of this one. It's called Fugitive Monkey Caught.
Yes.
Order Restored to Kentucky Town. Okay. You got me. You got me hooked. Okay. Whoever did the headline for that thing.
This is the sequel to Monkey Trouble.
I don't even know. Is there a movie called really about this already?
Yes. This was my favorite movie.
Wow. Okay.
As a child. And I mean, I would totally adopt this monkey right now.
Well, it says here. Okay.
I hide him in my secret annex.
Okay. Well, there you go. I cannot wait for this. I hope that there is a sequel to Monkey Trouble.
Monkey Trouble.
Not Monkey Business.
In the Secret Annex, starring Anne Frank.
Wow.
Anne
Frank.
Too soon? No.
I don't know if too soon, but
I mean, it was.
It could
one
be
of
another
Anne
Frank.
Anne
Frank.
Well.
She was very versatile. She was very
autobiography of a fugitive monkey.
There you go. Yeah, that there is a lot of fugitive. The fugitive. Yeah. It goes, look at this. It says,
I'm excited about this.
The monkey business is finally over. Perfect line monkey right there. Business. Officials in Kentucky say that they have captured a fugitive monkey after the animal spent 2 days on the run. Sam Mullins told LAX 18 News that he spotted a monkey running loose Monday near an intersection in Owingsville and then saw it again Tuesday in a tree on his property and called the authorities. Says local deputies, state police, fish and wildlife, and animal control all try to capture the long-tailed macaque who remained on the lam until being tranquilized on Wednesday.
No!
Well, you have to kind of make it sleep. You don't want to, you never saw, I don't know if you ever saw the movie, what's that movie with the where the somebody got
Mighty Joe Young?
No, close. What was the one with Dustin Hoffman where the monkey scratched somebody and then went into this epidemic? Forget it. Oh man, there was a movie back in the 90s. It was like Breakout or Outbreak. That's what it was called.
I didn't see that one. There were a lot of monkey movies in the 90s. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, if you had a monkey as a pet and you were a trainer, you're in the business. I'll tell you that much.
That is
right there.
Great.
It says they're going to come back in the morning. Oh, wait, what? Okay, yes.
This monkey is so cute. This is like equivalent to a Hollywood movie star that can just like get away with murder.
I can see, yeah. And this is, according to one neighbor, the monkey's owners were cleaning out the animal's cage when it escaped. Oh, fooled them again.
Wait, the monkey escaped?
He escaped the cage. They had him in a cage. And it goes,
oh my gosh.
And it says right here, tattoo markings on the animal's chest indicate that it was previously in a breeding colony or research lab. So it was in a lab, and I guess owners said we're gonna take it, and now it says it will now live in a rescue center. So I guess the owners are not gonna have it anymore. I guess they can't saying it's gonna escape again, you okay?
You
I, no, I'm just saying. I guess the monkey, it got tranquilized. They had to shoot a tranquilers. I know I'm sad, but you never know. This macaque,
this is a badass monkey.
It is. It's a monkey. If I saw this on a tree, I would be like scared shitless because I would be like, oh shit, what the fuck? Why is there a monkey on a tree? And this is normal civilization. And it's like,
you
normal.
Would be scared.
I think I would be.
Do you know how many kids would try to get the monkey?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I have a fear of monkeys, but I would definitely be like, we're not in a tropical setting or anything. We're in LA or something, and I'm like, why is there a monkey on the tree?
Does this monkey have a name?
No, it doesn't say that they had. It didn't say they had a name on
Rodney.
There. What'd you call him?
Rodney?
Do you think it was Rodney?
He's about to start some riots.
Rodney. Oh, Rodney. Rodney.
From the right there.
Yeah. Right there. I could see that. Okay. I don't know.
Is this an injustice?
I guess. I don't know. But it's funny because it's saying it went out of control. Like the whole neighborhood was on the thing saying, oh shit, there's a monkey on the loose. But what did the monkey actually... I don't think the monkey really did anything wrong. It says that it's like, okay, it's on the tree. Okay, it's on somebody's property. But is it doing anything like, I mean...
No.
No, right?
No.
So do you think... So okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think some of these monkeys should be released, you know? Maybe you could...
We should protest. This is the way we can implement Gandhi-type protests.
Uh-huh.
And we can really create a change. And maybe this could be a microcosm for the monkey.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, you know, down the road, someone would take this case and then do it, you know, with the...
Fifth fugitive monkey.
Right. We do it with the other cases that's happening around.
So you think, there's America. Other, you think there's other fugitive monkeys around there that are in the rescue center, quote unquote rescue center, which is like basically monkey prison. Or something, right?
I think that there's people.
Oh, that, well, you know, yeah, it's I can see that. Yeah.
That maybe, you know, a good peaceful protest can then be applied for them. But maybe we start out with a monkey, you know.
We can start with that and then go from there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, what if they just took the monkey and released him into the wild?
I don't know. I don't know what would happen.
Can they just let him go free?
I get. Are they afraid of disease? Maybe it might spread something if it like rabies or something.
Are we informed enough?
Yeah.
Do we know? I don't know if we have enough information. Is this monkey sick? Is this an actual violent monkey that needs to?
I think that's the thing. I think it's like it's like if this like the hijinks. If you will, that this monkey might pursue might be a little bit like it'd be pretty.
Is this Fox News that we're getting this article?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is. I think maybe it is actually.
It is.
Yeah, and it's
so. I mean, they could be completely. This maybe is what they want us to think. Is all of a sudden to be a more fear by these wild monkeys.
I get it.
But
yeah.
Maybe these monkeys are evolving to let us know something.
Yeah. I could see that.
I don't know. I think I'm a little off here, but I don't know what executive decision should be made.
But right here it says the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Research. Man, this has to be a first in this department of a monkey. I don't know, but it says does not issue permits for exotic wildlife. However, importation or transportation of exotic wildlife from out of state requires a wildlife transportation permit. The department has a list of exotic wildlife that are prohibited in Kentucky because they are considered environmentally injurious. I don't know what that
means.
Can
I see how that's spelled?
Yeah, it's like injurious. It's like injury, but like right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means. And this is a list of the animals that they are inherently dangerous and cannot be owned. That's basically, I guess, what it means.
I see. Okay. And okay. Like if it bites somebody, I can understand that.
But look at the ones, but they're saying it's like, it's all like, jackrabbit, prairie dog, a raccoon dog.
Whoa.
A skylark, what the hell? I don't even know right here. It's a tongueless or African clawed frog.
I guess
you can't have that. And then it says the inherently dangerous are pretty obvious, like alligators, crocodiles, hippopotamus, who are actually the number one killers. And I think they're one of the most dangerous animals in the world, hippopotamus.
Wow.
And lions, jaguars. Cheetahs, oddly enough. I don't know why. I always feel, as a kid, I always go like, are cheetahs dangerous? I guess they are, but they run so fast.
They're just so darn cute.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't see them as a threat. I don't want to be afraid if I saw a cheetah. I would be like, wow, I want to see it run. I want to, you know, see it run, see how fast it could be. But See, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could communicate. That's the thing. I wish I was Dr. Doolittle.
Mm-hmm.
And I could communicate with animals and say, like, what do they really think of us? What do they think about other animals? Are they like, okay, you know what? I don't mind the people in my, you know, group. Not the people, but the other animals in my group. But sometimes they could be annoying.
Does the tranquilizer,
mm-hmm.
is that harmful to the monkey?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I think it just knocks them out. I think it's the same, like...
How else are they going to... The person that's supposed to catch them, what mm-hmm. is animal police?
Mm-hmm.
Are they supposed to climb the tree and try to, you know, jump?
Well, that's what they try to do. And it's like, obviously, initially. It's like they have to... I think they have to do that first to say, okay, we did this first, and now we have to tranquilize them.
Maybe they have like a little... I want to see, like, those pool things, see where you get the leaves out of.
You mean like a net thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you get one of those things.
I can see that.
So you do, like, a nice small dose of a tranquilizer and then catch them. And
it's kind of like a hook. Back in the old days when someone, like a vaudevillian, you know, was doing his show on stage and he wasn't doing well and... They used to have this hook. Just that would be like, instead of like, I don't know how that must be really humane. Because instead of like saying shutting down the lights, like let's black out the lights or let's put the curtain up, it's like, no, we're going to get a hook that might physically hurt you and yank you off the stage. Okay.
I remember watching that very late at night on Apollo.
Yeah. Well, no, live at the Apollo.
Yes.
I love
that show.
They don't have a hook. They have a guy, Sandman or some clown. Some guy dressed up as a clown with a broom.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you're off. So it's almost, that's even more embarrassing because even then I know the guy's trying to do a job, but he's still yet pushing you off the stage.
I think that moment would be so surreal if you're performing. I know this is off topic from Rodney, our new pet monkey.
Yes.
But, you know, just if the clown was coming off on the stage at Apollo.
Right.
How could you even be like mad at that point? Like, I don't think you could just because you're like, you just got that far to perform.
Yeah. Well, you're already getting booed. So it's already hitting your ego already. But then... Yeah, you have a clown going like, I wonder, but the thing is, I'm kind of curious to say, is the guy playing the clown when he's doing the dusting of the broom, you know, the thing that he's supposed to like take you out of the stage, is he saying like, hey, just get off the stage, buddy, get off the stage, okay? Just do me a favor, get off the stage. So
I don't have to stay here. Does anybody willingly get off the Apollo, like before?
Yeah,
the
usually they're very, like once in a while, I think they'll still have somebody who doesn't accept it. And it's like, you literally, that's when I think the host like has to literally get it to the point where they shut off the guy's mic or, you know.
What if the person just like punched the clown?
Then the crowd would love it. I think the crowd would be like, whoa, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
This is my show. I would love it. I would be like, wow.
That would be very entertaining.
I would watch Apollo all the time. They used to play that. Like, it was always after Saturday Night Live. It would be like Apollo
Night.
And I'm like,
I had a dream of like going up on Apollo and like touching the little good luck. Like,
yeah, the little sound,
or whatever it was.
What would be your do you sing?
I don't. I wish I did. I dance.
Okay, all right. I saw that. If you know what, I was watching your video. One of the videos you're doing like a looks like a dance video, like almost like a
the music video,
right? Music video, yeah.
Earthwalkers,
yeah. And
episode 5.
And I was like watching this, and I'm like, oh my god, Christina would totally be on the show in the 80s called Kids Incorporated.
What?
I could totally see you doing
that. Awesome.
Cool. I don't know why, but Fergie used to be on this show when she was young.
Really? Yeah. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, Kids Incorporated.
Cool. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's an old school show back in the 80s, and it's like...
Love it.
Mind-blowing. But you know what? You know, monkeys, you know, we just got out there?
Yeah.
It's in the jungle, and let's get down to the trailers. We're going to go down the pike right this one. I'm telling you now.
Down the pike.
The Green Inferno. Have you heard about this?
No.
No, by Eli Roth. You know, Eli Roth is a director. He does Hostel, that movie. Those,
those movies that I don't
see. Yeah, it's like a lot of blood, basically a lot of torture kind of thing, you know, so like right. Saw, basically. And he did this. This is a tribute to one of his movie, or one of his, I would say his favorite movies, maybe, but it's a movie called Cannibal Holocaust. And back in the, 1980, I think. And it was very controversial because it was, it looked like a snuff film. And I don't know if you know what a snuff film is.
What is it?
It's the darkest of the dark when it comes to stuff. But it's almost like urban legend. A snuff film is basically a film where someone is, basically being tortured and killed on camera. And,
oh, God.
And it's like, but it's, but for entertainment purposes, basically.
Oh, my God.
So it is like the urban legend. So Cannibal Holocaust was considered like that thing, but it was all with actors and, you know, special effects and all that stuff, you know, makeup and the whole thing. And it got a notoriety because of that. And Eli Roth, who, you know, said like, hey, I want to do a movie like this. And it's called The Green Inferno. And it's basically what it is that it's a bunch of young, you know,
20-something.
Well, a bunch of people trying to make a difference, you know, and they try to want to save the Amazon, and when their plane crashes, they meet the tribe, and the tribe is not
it's not down for change.
No, it's a very cannibal tribe. Let's play cool. This, The Green Inferno. Okay. That's the Amazon. I'm assuming it's the Amazon.
It's very green.
See the rain? Yes. You know, it's like a message. The rainforest is going to destroy it.
The world is dangerous. We can't just go invade a country because they're doing something that we think is immoral.
I know. I just think I should be doing something about the rainforest.
I like her.
You like her? Okay. Yeah, she, you know.
It's time to make a difference.
Uh-oh.
I'm in with these people. These are my people.
Right. So they're on a plane, you know, they're looking at the... Uh-oh, the plane's going down. Oh, boy. Those planes are never good anyway, too. I don't know. Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, boy.
And then it crashes. Uh-oh, now she wakes up, right? She just got knocked out. Because she survived a plane crash. Oh, she's alive, thank God. Oh, boy. Yeah. Now, here comes the tribes, people.
Cool.
Why are they doing this?
Yeah. Like, I don't even think these people have ever seen anything like that they liked. So I don't even think they like each other.
How much research do they do on this?
I don't know.
We have to get out of here.
But this is basically like a remake of this movie, Cannibal Holocaust, basically. Where it's like them trying to get out of this thing, and it's like...
You know what this is? You know what they're doing to us?
Pure.
There we go.
Oh, I think I know what they were doing.
What were they doing? The Green Inferno. What were they... Were they trying to...
Because it was the girl, and then they had the thing.
Claw, yeah, claw. Or something, or, yeah.
I think they're trying to take off probably her down there parts.
Oh,
probably.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, I know that's a thing that they do to young girls.
Oh. In Africa, they do that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure, but that's just what it triggered in my mind.
You know what? I don't think you're
clear.
I'm
like, we have to go there and do something about that.
Yeah, I think, but yeah, it's a whole thing. So
they will eat you alive.
Yeah, that is true. You know, and there is. I think I did this on the show, but there is a an island near off the coast, or not off the coast, but near India. I think it's part of India, and it's an island, and the people who it's basically just all indigenous people in there, and they do not like outsiders. They've had, you know, like when the tsunami happened, the earthquake back in 2004 happened, they went to give him like food and all that stuff, and they were like met by like spears and arrows by the helicopter and stuff like that. Like, wow. They were just so like,
they weren't,
and there was like two fishermen that one time went there, and they were both killed, like they're by the whoa. By the these this tribe. So it's like, I don't know, like for me, yeah, like it's like, okay, they're a tribe, and I get it, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, like you definitely want to be careful.
In a way, I mean, look at our track record of just invading into other people's territories, not respecting their space. So I can understand their, you know, instinctually. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a fan of communication.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a roommate of the world, you know?
I think if you were in that plane, you know, God forbid, if you were in that plane, if you were, you know, that thing, and they get, I think at the end of the movie, I think the tribe, they wouldn't, you know, harm you or torture you. I think they would be like, you know what? Wow, she's very laid back. I have to admit, you know what?
We like her. She's very easygoing.
She's part of the tribe now. I think she's like very part of the whole thing. Like, we're not, like, I think maybe the other people might be freaking out, but I think for you, they would be like, I can't go down. I can't use this claw thing on her. Just no way. She's too cute.
Oh,
she's too cute.
Thank you. That makes me feel good.
So I'm just saying, you know, I think you would survive.
Thank you.
For the other people, I'm pretty sure they would be like, you know what?
Yikes.
Like, just calm down. You're probably like, you know what? Stop screaming. Maybe if you stop screaming, maybe they wouldn't be like angry at you.
Yeah. You know, I don't, this is, you know what? I liked this trailer. I liked that it was out, it was saying something, like having the group of people like, we got to go down there and for change.
Right.
It's very scary if that's
a true thing,
if there's actually cannibals like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it was the guy, you know, Cook Islands and all that. I think he was actually eaten by the people that were living in the islands, I think.
Wait, what?
Wasn't that true? Yeah, I think it was like, I don't know his name or full name, but the guy, the Cook Islands, the guy that they named the islands after him, you know, because he discovered them, even though they were already indigenous people there. But I think he was...
Wait.
Yeah.
They say he discovered it, so he took the credit of it, even though there were people already there?
I guess in a way.
Was he white?
That. Yeah. Oh, I know, the worst.
White people, man.
Yeah, I think he might have been British. I'm not sure, but it's definitely. I think he was the explorer. He was there, and they found these people.
A little more charming.
And definitely, I don't know. I guess they ate them. They cooked them up. It was like,
oh my gosh.
You know, if you ever see the old, you know, the old thing of where like, oh hey. This is like someone like boiling under like this pot of water and the thing. I think that's what happened.
No.
In cartoons. Like, I think this is the guy. I think that happened to him. And it's like,
that's just me.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah. I mean, maybe he was a jerk. I mean, you know, I mean, the fact that he took, you know, the name. Yeah. Like the, you know, the whole thing. But it's still, like, let's see.
Here. How do we know that? Like, who was there to witness that and get that out there?
Yeah. I think this is, I'm not too sure. I think they wrote about it. It says James Cook right here. And let's see here. I'm just trying to see where he
Look
did
at
it.
This. This is amazing. We're Googling this right on the spot. We'll find out about James Cook right now.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, okay, here. It says right here. He was killed by one. I guess maybe he wasn't eaten, but it looks like it was between him and the Hawaiians, I think, like, or something. It was all that kind of thing, like, those tribes or whatever like that. Like, yeah, I don't know. All I know is that's the image that they kind of portray. I don't know if they actually ate the guy from there, but I know there's one guy where they actually just, like... I don't know who it is or some explorer, but I know they caught him and they basically cooked him and ate him, basically. So, which is still around. I still say, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, cannibalism, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be surprised if you went to some island. Like we're in the movie Castaway.
Yes.
Where with Tom Hanks. Yeah. I honestly, I was like, I'm pretty sure there was a, I would assume there might be some people living in that island, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Gilligan's Island, there was some people. Every now and then, they would have some islanders
didn't
or
Lost,
something.
I didn't see the seasons of Lost, but didn't Lost apparently have some kind
they
of
situation
have,
you know,
like
they should have had something on there.
Yeah.
You would think, because if you go on the islands or whatever in Lost or something, I would be like, where are the indigenous people? Like, did we kick them out too?
It's very weird to think that here we are in LA right now in West Hollywood.
Right.
You know, drinking, you know, nice
water.
Nice water.
Right.
That this is available to us.
Uh-huh.
And that there's somewhere else in the world that.
It's impossible. It's like you almost went back in time and now you're like the caveman.
We went back like, you know, century. Or, right. I mean, I don't even know. Like, exactly what you said, caveman.
Caveman. Well, but whoever produced Gilligan's Island and created it had they didn't see it that way. Because, you would see, you know Gilligan's Island, right?
Yes. Yeah, I love Gilligan's Island.
And that was the thing. I think as a kid, I enjoyed it. But later on, I was like, why is the skipper so fat? Like, I mean, what are they eating over there? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, so right. I think Hollywood should remake Gilligan's Island and make it more realistic.
Make it authentic.
Authentic. Maybe, you know, get the whole thing. And what if it was like a real legit movie where it's like, you know, they got a
like Survivor.
Yeah, they basically, you know. And I remember there was one episode in Gilligan's Island which freaked me out, where it was like a big spider was in the cave, I can't even remember, but it was like the fakest spider. It was like if Ed Wood said, hey, let's create a spider movie, and they basically made it into this movie at one episode.
It was just like a Halloween spider that you pick up at Party City.
It's really creepy, you're just looking at it right there, but
Well, I mean, I think Eli Roth, you know, did a really good job making that. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like films that where I see really gruesome things like that being torn apart.
I get
what I'd like to spend my $17.50 on at the ArcLight for.
I get it.
You know, even, you know, pirating it off online.
It's
not something I would want to invest my time into, but I think that he's very talented. And I do like the beginning, the first half of the trailer.
Okay, all right. That feels like, all right.
The intro, the first 1 to 25 pages.
The first part, yeah.
For the actual
I get it. But you
plot hits.
But speaking of Castaway, we talked about
Wilson.
Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this next one is the trailer for The Martian, which is basically Castaway, but in space.
With Matt Damon.
Christina, calm down, please.
It's just my foot asleep. It's nothing. It's just my foot asleep.
All right, just checking. All right, let's play. This is a Martian where this is like an astronaut that I guess got stuck on Mars and everyone thought he was dead. And actually he finds that and then he gets communication and tells the whole world that he's still alive and wants to come back home, basically. So it's right here. Cool. There we go. I think every trailer starts with that sound.
Love it.
See? Space.
I guarantee that sound.
That at some point, everything's going to go south on you.
Ready?
Uh-oh.
And you're going to say, this is it.
Watch out! Ready!
This is how I end.
Commander, Mark is dead.
We have to go.
Yeah, I think they thought he was dead. So they left.
Now you can either accept that.
And he's like, what?
Or you can get to work.
This will come as quite a shock to my crewmates. And to NASA. And to the entire world. But I'm still alive.
Yes.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Here's the rub. It's going to be 4 years for another mission to reach me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm in a hab designed to last 31 days.
So
So I gotta make water and grow food on a planet where nothing grows. But if I can't figure out a way to make contact with NASA, then none of this matters anyway.
We've got an incoming message.
Mein Gott.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Yes.
In your face, Neil Armstrong.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Okay, so let's do the math. I have enough food to last for 50 days.
Oh, he's going to starve to death long before we can help.
So I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
He's 50 million miles away from home. He's totally alone. What the hell is he thinking?
I would just give up. I would give up.
I am the greatest botanist on this planet.
I would give up. I'm a Mars.
You need the Hermes. Childish Gambino.
We have a high chance of killing one, or a low chance
of killing six.
Comedians
are now going into that.
I love it.
Risking their lives.
It's bigger than one person.
No, it's not.
NASA rejected the mission.
So if we do this,
we're talking mutiny. If anything goes wrong, we die.
Do you realize how crazy this is?
We have no other option.
Bring them home.
No matter what happens, tell the world, tell my family that I never stop fighting.
The kid didn't
get home.
The kid didn't really look like that. Imagine if he landed on Venus.
Whoa.
If he got out of Mars.
Carlos, I love that you're like, this is like an epic trailer, and you're like, the kid didn't really look like him.
Why?
You're like, yeah, I don't know. The kid didn't really look like him.
I looked at the kid, and I go, what? He looked Hispanic or something.
Couldn't you get a better kid? They should have kind of look like Matt Damon.
I'm very particular. I'm very particular at my casting. I'm like, not gonna do it. No way. Get that kid out of there now.
Oh God, everybody's a critic.
I'm just saying. But
the land of Hollywood, we all have our opinions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I think this is great.
You like it?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. It's like Matt Damon now being the good guy in a space movie.
Uh-huh.
Sorry to spoil Interstellar.
If anyone
hasn't already seen that, that was another epic movie.
A lot of space movies are coming out. I think after Gravity and Interstellar. I think it's like saying, okay, how far can we get into space without saying realistically?
Saying too much.
Right.
No, you go. I think it's cool that if there's a trend of more space movies coming out, because also with technology, it's not too far fetched that we're going to be taking trips to space to other planets soon.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of like making our minds like more familiar with the idea of like, okay, this isn't like an out of our lifetime type of idea.
Right.
The fact that Matt Damon is teaching us how to grow a garden on another planet could be very beneficial to us. Maybe he's educating us, like, just in case we take a trip and it goes bad, we know how to survive.
Well, Stephen Hawking actually said that the only way mankind would survive would be if we left this planet. Like, there's no way, like,
You think our planet's going to be, like, done and it's going to be, like...
I think he meant it maybe as a species because, I mean, when you look at dinosaurs and you see how they roamed and everything, and it's like, well, how come, it might happen to us. And the only reason why it could happen to us is, like, if some disease, like some virus has happened and wipes us all out, you know, just like... Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the thing. That's the mystery. I don't know. There's a Big Bang Theory, the whole thing, or whatever it is, but... when they say species extinct, sometimes like some of us are like, well, I don't know. I mean, we are a species and we are in this kind of, I mean, if it's hot, I mean, some of us may
if
have
it gets
to
too hot.
We're not, some of us
Let's
may not
just
adapt.
Go to the pool on Mars.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that would be great. Well, they do. I saw a report that China is now getting into the space business. And they're gonna go to the other side of the moon, the dark side of the moon. They're gonna pull a Pink Floyd and go and check out the dark side. And I'm like, that's gonna brave, man, because all our astronauts, like Neil Armstrong, like fuck that. It's
like,
it's, like,
cool.
It's like, we're not going to the dark side. Are you going to the dark side? No.
And a rock and roll t-shirt, they are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
T-shirt?
Yeah.
T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
I meant rock and roll t-shirt.
Yeah.
Out super country.
But I tell you this. If I did land on Mars, if I was, I would, if I came back, because this happens a lot when they found this to be true, that the astronauts who walked on the moon came back with very spiritual insight when they came back. And if I came in, if I was the Martian and I came back, I would be like, well, I stepped on two planets. Like, that's crazy.
I'm so happy you mentioned that. I would love to Google the heck out of them and see what they have to say about those experiences.
Yeah.
Because that's amazing. I mean, can you imagine that perspective?
Right.
I just love the whole cast of that.
It's a big cast. I mean, it's a big cast, yeah. Kristen Wiig, Danny Glover.
Jessica
Donald
Chastain.
Glover, not Danny Glover. Donald Glover. I always get them confused with that sometimes.
And that dude from Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
Daniels. Daniels. Yeah, the Jeff Daniels guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
It's funny how he could play the head of NASA and also can play a complete idiot in like another movie. You know what I mean?
It's fantastic. I love seeing actors go on the other end of the spectrum.
I love it. He's very, you know, Robert Duvall was probably the most versatile actor of all time.
Amazing.
Guinness Book of Records.
Really?
Book of World Records. Put that in there. Just
really?
Shouting it out.
That's really hard to give one person
the most versatile.
Like, everyone else is born and they're like talented, and you're like, sorry, you were born too late. Robert Duvall already.
Robert De Niro
took the slot.
You're close, but Duvall got you. On
Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Duvall played a general and a priest, and he did it in two different ways, way better than anybody else could do it. You know,
really?
So that's what I'm saying. So, I don't know. You know, when you said I could Google the heck, I wish if I was 20 years ago, if I went back in time, I would be like, I would say that kind of thing, like knowing what I know, I'd be like, hey man, why don't you just Google the heck out of that thing? I'd be like, what? I'm like, Google.
That would be a different language.
Yeah. It's a different, that's how, now you know, because that's, in 20 years, there's going to be a whole different language.
Oh my gosh, I have a little sister, she's 16, and already just the way the language has even changed, through text messages and abbreviations.
Emojis.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a conversation in emojis nowadays.
They're doing an emoji movie, which is pretty smart now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's super current.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know, we'll see.
They're adding more emojis to the keyboard. We discovered that yesterday. They're doing a champagne, a unicorn.
You could. I have an open cat food right there, and I think they're gonna do an emoji cat food open a can.
Can you suggest
of
that? Like, can I you could, suggest yeah. emojis?
I think so, because I could put a picture of a cat or the cat emoji and then the open can of cat food next to it and say, like, yeah, my feeding my cat.
That's great. Oh, I have a question for you that I thought about.
Or he just
emojis.
Looks at me like really impressed, like, good job, buddy.
Right. That was good. Good cat food.
Good,
okay. This is a question though. I want to know what you think. So one of the emojis is you know, like, now you can pick the person and then you can pick which color it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one emoji with the little person with a turban on, and you can pick like white to, you know, to dark.
Right.
And so if you pick the white person with the turban on, is that cultural appropriation?
It depends, because
do we care?
I don't think I would care, because
I don't care. Some people are.
And
really
weather like this that we've been having, and if you go to the Middle East and it gets really hot, I'm like, you know what? I think I would be wearing a turban myself.
Wouldn't a turban make your head even more hot?
No, but it sucks the sweat. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it holds. It gives you like your head like a shade, and it's that band around it, takes the sweat off of it.
Cool. I have a turban, by the way. There's a great little shop off of Melrose. So I was actually selfishly asking this, you know, wondering if I'm...
Yeah, if you wore a turban, I think it would be fine. I would enjoy it.
I personally love it and appreciate, you know...
I think this was the perfect weather to do it.
Yeah.
They would be like, wow. I think the people from maybe that who have turban in your own country, I think they'd be like, wow, I should... bring up my turban. You know what I mean? If I have my turban, I'm bringing it out. We get a whole thing going on here.
Celebrate that. So that went way off of, you know, subject, but...
Hey, it happens. It happens. It's life. It's life.
Christina. Life happens.
Life happens, and that's the way it goes.
All right. And it becomes something even better than what we thought.
Exactly. Which is even the best. I don't even know what we're...
I don't know.
We're going on top of each other, but there we go. Wait, Christina, thanks again for doing the show again.
Thank you again.
No problem. And where can we find you? What is, Ladies Like Us?
Ladies Like Us, The Rise of Neighborhood Watch is on slaptv.com. Mm-hmm. My Instagram is Christina Cohen Cruz. Christina with a K.
And not Tom Cruise, like it's a Cruz, K-R-U-Z.
K-R-U-Z, yeah.
You have the most cultural name, like Christina Cohen.
Right. Cruz. Very Jewish. Then Cruz is made up.
Okay.
It was
really?
Just a made up stage name.
I buy it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. You have a very Latin look.
I'm half Spanish, so my manager thought to go out on more auditions and just throw in a cruise, you know, give it a nice little twist.
But I get it.
Now it's stuck with me a little bit. Now
you got to do it. You got to stick with
it. Soon enough, I might shake it. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Hey, it's part of the deal. You know, my real name is Carlos...
Jaime.
That's my real name. People think it's like a fake name. I'm like, no, that's a legitimate. Yeah. Technically, people say I don't have a last name, so I don't know what that means. But
you're just Carlos.
Yeah,
I'm just Carlos. Like Pharrell,
like or Madonna.
Or McDonald, or Lil Wayne.
Okay, yes, right there. Yeah.
Twitter is just Cohen Cruz.
Cohen Cruz. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Right now I have 67 followers.
No.
And people are just dropping me.
Really? Yeah. Why? What happened? Wait. You know what? People who are really into Twitter get the followers and all that, or Instagram. And it's sometimes like I look at it and I'm like, well, I don't really say anything or be on it sometimes. So to me, it's almost like a way to communicate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that 140 characters of like sometimes a wit just being like, you know.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah.
I mean, you can Google things on, you know, of ways to go about it. And I'm still learning how to work Twitter.
That's all right.
Thank you so much for having me. I really had so much fun.
No, thank you. Thank you. And Jorge, thank you for sticking in
Thank you, Jorge. You're the best.
You know, Jorge's real name is Alan Switzer.
Alan Switzer?
Yeah, no, he changed his name. Jorge Reyes.
Sounds epic.
Alan Switzer. He's great. Calvin. No, I don't know who he is.
Awesome. You guys are rock stars.
Thank you. And so are you right there, Miss Christina Cohen Cruz, right there in the house. Okay. And, you know, guys, please, you know, come to your senses in this way. And, yeah, you know what? And check out Straight Outta Compton. Actually, I was very impressed by that movie. It was really good.
It was very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was very good. So, guys, please, thank you again for listening. And please come to your senses.
Receive this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit comedypodcastnetwork.com.